see you all here today, and some visitors and some regular folks. And I think I have a message that is going to be valuable to the oldest and the youngest and everybody in between. So, Bronson, listen careful, brother. Amen. Jude, verse 22, I'm going to focus on here in just a minute. Y'all there? All right. There was a woman that wanted a guard dog, and she needed something to protect her home, but she didn't really like some things about dogs. She didn't like the fact that they shed, and she didn't like the way they smelled, especially when they were wet. And she didn't like the fact that they bark. It scared her every now and then. And then on top of that, the dogs get kind of big and they take up space in the house, and she didn't have a very big house. And so she went to the pet store and she told the owner of the pet store, she said, here's my problem. And he said, ma'am, I have the perfect solution for you. I have right here an animal. This dog, he said, this dog doesn't shed. In fact, this dog is so interested in being clean that it spends a lot of the time just cleaning itself. He said, this dog doesn't bark. It makes a kind of a high-pitched squealing sound once in a while, but it's not very loud. And he said, and this dog's not going to get very big, so you won't have to worry about it taking up space in your house. The woman bought the animal, took it home. And that night, a robber, a burglar broke into her house while she was asleep and stole all of her valuable things while the cat sat in the corner cleaning itself. Now, humorous little story with a great application. Today, there are a lot of people that would like the benefits of having a God, of having a church. They would like to see, they'd like to have someone to go to when they have needs, or they'd like to have blessings that God can give, but they don't want the things that are going to cost them some inconvenience. They might not want to hear the conviction that comes when they hear the Bible preached. They might not want to have God take up too much of their life, because after all, they've got their life all plotted out. And so they find places, they call themselves churches, that are designed for that very purpose. They don't preach the Bible with conviction. They have a different kind of music that sounds different. They entertains more than worships. They have really no infringing upon a person's lifestyle or upon their time. It's just a place where they can go and feel good for a while every week. And the trouble is, folks, those kind of places don't make a difference in people's lives. I knocked on a door yesterday, and a woman came to the door, and I can't even describe all the wicked things that I saw on the porch. And I've already talked to the husband. I know he doesn't even believe there's a God. And she came to the porch, and I said, we'd like to have the bus come by tomorrow and take your children to Sunday school and church. In fact, we're going to feed them waffles for breakfast. And the woman said, no, we go to, and she named the church. And I thought, I know why I see what I see, because that place that they go is not making a difference in her life. Listen, folks, we ought to make a difference, amen? Let me ask you to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm just going to read verse 22 in the book of Jude, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll look at some other things along the way. But the Bible says in Jude 22, the verse 22, it says, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we know that without you we can do nothing. God, thank you for the people that are here today, the blessing that you are to us in bringing folks to church and allowing us to have this time to worship you. Thank you for the songs that we just sang that direct our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for that special that reminds us of the opportunity we have to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when our life is filled with trials. Lord God, today we ask you, please meet with us. I pray that we would have a time here that would be useful to your people, because the word of God would speak to them. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's not just a fact that there are churches today that don't have godliness, that don't preach holiness or sanctification. They want to love God, but not necessarily to serve Him. They want the blessings of God, but they really don't pray like they should. They want godliness to be something that's optional rather than as important as the Bible makes it. And we understand there are those kind of churches, but sadly, it seems like today people in general, even people in good churches, are looking for the blessings that God has to offer, but they're not quite so interested in the holiness that God asks of them or of the service that God desires from them or the sacrifice that might come along with that. Now, Jude is the next to the last book in the Bible, and it is the last epistle that deals with our age. The revelation deals with the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's not happened yet. So Jude, this is the very last epistle. It's a short epistle, but it describes what we have happening today. And before we get to verse 22 and see about making a difference, Jude has a lot of things to say. I'm not going to look at all of them, obviously, but I want to show you a couple of them. Look in Jude and look at verse 4. He says, there are certain men crept in unawares. Now, these men he's talking about have a philosophy like I just described. In fact, he describes it this way. He says, they have turned the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now, don't tune out about right now because you heard a big word. I'm going to tell you what that word means, okay? And you'll understand this if you know anything about our day, but we all understand that it is by grace ye are saved, amen? It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. The Bible says by grace are you saved through faith. None of us deserves heaven. None of us wants to go to hell. We want to be saved. And so we understand that salvation comes by grace. And then the Bible says, Jesus promised, and Paul made this very clear, my grace is sufficient for you, so that you and I understand that the grace of God, the favor of God, which we don't deserve, is what we need in our life. By grace ye are saved. Your sins are covered in the blood of the Lamb. So grace is a good thing. The word lasciviousness, you probably didn't use that word one single time all week long, probably not all month long, unless you were in the Bible. It's a word that most folks have not even heard of, or they've forgotten what it means. It's a very important word. It's in the Bible several times. And what it means is lasciviousness. I'll give you my definition in the dictionary definition. Lasciviousness means you can do what you want. Lasciviousness is particularly deals with sin and moral sin, so to speak. Webster's 1828 defines it as indulgence in the desires, wantonness or lustfulness. In other words, lasciviousness is, I can do whatever I want. Grace is, God will forgive me. And so this turning of the grace of God into lasciviousness is a wicked, false doctrine, because what it says is, I can live life any way I want and still expect all of God's blessings and all of God's forgiveness. And is it true God forgives us? Yes. But did He not say to us, be ye holy, for I am holy? And Brother Hickson touched on this morning, and he talked about it last Sunday as well in Sunday school. Folks, there's a thing that's called sanctification. Listen to me. If you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. If you're living a wicked life, it's because you're not saved. Amen? If you're living a wicked life, it's because you're not saved. Now, I'm not telling you that if you sin once or twice or 10 times or whatever, that proves that you're lost. But what I am telling you is, if you could care less what God thinks and you're living life any way you want, and you're sinning and you know you're doing wicked things and saying wicked things and being around wicked people, and that's what your life's all about, and then you say, well, God will forgive me for all of that, you missed the boat, because the problem is, yes, God will forgive you, but when He saves you, He changes you. And Brother Hickson said, amen. And I do too. You are different if you are saved. If you are not different, you are not saved. Please get that clearly if you don't get anything else, and I hope you do get some more. But you cannot. So these men, and they're all over the place today, men like Rick Warren, Francis Chan, people like that. They'll stand up and they will entertain you until the cows come home. I've heard them. And they'll talk about the Bible. They will not condemn sin. They will not condemn wickedness. And they will not tell you that you need to repent, because people don't want to hear that. People want to hear things that tickle their ears. And it is a changing of God's grace into something that it should not be. I'm glad I'm saved by grace. Amen? Amen. But I'm not saved so I can sin. I am saved from sin. And when I sin, it convicts me and it grieves me. And I want God to do something about it. And I come before God. I can't help myself. I come before God and I say over and over, God, please forgive me. I know I've sinned. I shouldn't do this. God, please forgive me. That's what salvation's all about. Not just living wickedly and could care less. If you are living a wicked life and you don't care, you're not saved. And he'll tell you in this book what's going to happen to you in that situation. It says in verse 8, they despise dominion. They speak evil of dignity. I wish I had time to talk about that some more. It's almost as if the world now is full of a bunch of people that identify with Judas Iscariot. You know who Judas Iscariot was, don't you? A little Bible history here. Brent Bronson, who's Judas Iscariot? What did he do? Hint, hint. He betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not used to me asking him questions in church. That just threw him for a complete loop. Why did Judas betray the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember the answer to that one, Bronson? What did he get? I give you a hint. It was shiny. 30 pieces of silver. 30 pieces of silver. That's the answer. Say it real loud. Good job, Bronson. Praise the Lord. You did a good job. 30 pieces of silver, which was the price of a slave, by the way. And 30 pieces of silver that he took in exchange for betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, just think with me for a minute. What was Judas really interested in? Serving Jesus or himself? Himself, amen? Now, he followed Jesus for 3.5 years. Why would he do that? I'll tell you why he did it. Because of what he got. It was fascinating. He got to see things other people didn't see. And all better than that, he was the treasurer and he was carrying the bag of money, which he helped himself to quite frequently, because again, it wasn't about the Lord Jesus Christ, it was all about him. We see that today. The world is full of people like that. They want what God has to offer, but they don't want to offer God anything in return. No holiness, no service, no sacrifice. Oh, pastor, I want God to bless me, but don't ask me to tithe. Oh, pastor, I want God to bless me, but I don't pray at all. Oh, pastor, I hope God blesses me, but don't ask me to do anything at church. Don't ask me to make a commitment. Don't ask me to be regular at something. Well, that's just too much trouble. But I sure hope God blesses me. I'm going to try to keep this on a nice level here, but you can see where I'm going with that. Amen? Now look, Jude says these people aren't Christians. Look at verse 13, Jude 13. He says, at the end of the verse, he says that to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever? That's hell. Fascinating thing about hell, I don't understand the science behind this, but God does. As hot as the flames of hell are, it's a place that's completely dark for all eternity. That's hell. That's, the Bible describes hell that way. Look at verse 19. It says, they have not the Spirit at the end of verse 19. And what that says basically is, according to Romans, if you don't have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you're none of His. Amen. Now, someone says, well, if I had the Spirit of God in me, I could speak in tongues. I'm not going to get into that. I'll just tell you this. I have the Spirit of God in me and I don't speak in tongues. Amen? Someone else says, well, if I had the Spirit of God in me, I'd get really excited for an hour when I was in church and jump up and down and clap my hands. But I've seen those people go back home and be what they really are, and the Spirit of God seems to have left for the rest of the week. The Spirit of God in you stays in you, amen? You know how you can tell the Spirit of God is in you? He's called the Holy Spirit. He will point you, drag you, pull you, push you towards holiness. Say, Pastor, I don't care if I'm holy or not. You're lost. You're on your way to hell. Say, Pastor, it grieves me when I sin. I'm sorry for my sin, and I want God to give me victory over that sin. That's called salvation. And he can do that. Amen? Now, Jude says these folks are not Christians. Here's what concerns me the most. I'm afraid in good churches, I'll just leave it at that, that there are people that are just like that. They're not Christians. And they're looking for what they get, but they really don't love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I would point you to the fact that in Galatians, I believe it is, or Corinthians, it'll come to me in a minute. But one of those two places, the Bible says, if you don't love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're cursed. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? I hope you do. Amen? Now, we've got to move along here. We come to the book of Jude. And when we start looking at verse 22, we got to remember something, and that is there's 21 verses before it. So I'm not going to ask you to do this with me. It took a few minutes, but it won't take long. You can do it at home. Start reading in Jude and look at verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. Each time ask yourself, is there a command or is there an instruction or is there something here that God wants me to do? Now, you can see verse 22 that he wants us to make a difference. Of some have compassion making a difference. He wants us to make a difference. Folks, I want to make a difference. Drive up and down the streets over here. When you get out of church today, don't go down Glendale to Dysart or go down Glendale to Litchfield Road. I want you to drive through the neighborhood over here. I want you to drive down Maryland Avenue or McClellan or Stella or what's the other one, brother? You'll think of it in a minute, but anyway, there's four streets there between here and Litchfield. What's the other one? Anyway, drive through there and look around and see what you see. And look at the beer cans in the yards. Oh, by the way, children live in those houses. And look at what's going on over there. Now, the poverty's not the issue. I know some people haven't got a lot of money, or they may not take good care of their house. That's not the point. I'm talking about the wages of sin and the suffering. Brother Aaron drives through there every Sunday. He's shaking his head. He knows. Claremont, that's it. Then you drive down those roads and you see that. And I want to ask you a question. If you could make a difference, would you? Amen? You say, well, Pastor, there's just too many people over there. Just pick one or two or three. Pick the houses that have children in them that can ride the bus. Pick the houses that have children that do ride the bus. Would you make a difference if you could? I would. But before we make a difference in other people's lives, there needs to be a difference in ours. In other words, God needs to deal with me before he can use me to deal with others. Now, we're so good at knowing and caring for our own situation that sometimes we make that a full-time job. I got to take care of me. I got to provide. I got things I want to do. I've got plans. I want to go here and I want to do that. And I'm important, someone says. Well, the Bible says this. It's pretty clear. The Bible says if you want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and I won't turn you to the verse for the sake of time, but the Bible says in Luke chapter 14, he says, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, if you're going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and he goes that away, by definition, you got to turn your back on the things over here. If the Lord leads you to spend your time in one place, that means you can't spend your time somewhere else. This morning at 8:30, it's music to my ears. I hear the bus move from the gate over there, come around the back of the front of the building, and park right over here at the side door. And you know, as much as we've talked to that bus and prayed for that bus, it won't do it by itself. It needs a driver. It's not an automatic bus. If you can find an automatic bus and buy it for the church, we'll put it to work. Amen? Meanwhile, we got to have a bus driver. Somebody had to say, I'm not going to sleep as long this morning. I'm not going to do other things this morning, work perhaps. I'm going to drive a bus. Amen? that's the only way to make a difference is if we were on that bus. I mean, in that capacity, to pick those children up and go to Sunday school, somebody's got to drive that bus. That's called commitment. Yesterday, some people met here at 10 in the morning and went and visited those children. It's easy, especially when we use popsicles, which we didn't yesterday, but you go to the door and you invite them out. Folks, somebody had to make a commitment to make a difference. But before any of that happened, before the bus driver drove the bus or the people visited the children or the doors of the church were unlocked or anything else, first God had to do some things in our lives. And again, for the sake of time, it's really two messages and I can't show you all that, but I'll tell you what it says here just so you'll see it. Look in Jude. This is going to end quicker than you think. He's got three other commands in that passage, actually four at least, not counting the one in verse 3 and 4. He says in verse 17, we need to remember the word of God. Now, I could spend the rest of the morning talking about that, but I'll just remind you of something. If you want to make a difference in people's lives, it's going to start with the word of God making a difference in yours. Well, here's a simple explanation. If you really don't think people are going to die and go to hell, you're not going to go try to reach them with the gospel. Well, let me turn that around. If you don't try to reach people with the gospel, you probably really don't think they're going to die and go to hell, at least not very much. And it's just a simple fact. The Bible teaches us that. The word of God is going to have to be in our life to change us. It says to build up yourself on your most holy faith in verse 20. There's some building that God needs to do in our lives. He says in verse 20 to pray in the Holy Ghost. There's some praying that needs to happen in our lives. And it says in verse 21 to keep ourselves in the love of God. There's at least four things that we need to happen in our life before God's going to make a difference using us. Again, if I want God to use me to make a difference, then I need to let God make a difference in my life. Amen? That's why we're in church today. And praise God, we've seen it. When he makes that difference, then we can make a difference in other people's lives. Missionaries and full-time workers and lots of people, but just church members. When God makes a difference in your life, then you can make a difference in other people's lives. Now, I've got a real simple list of four things I'm going to show you, and we're going to be done. If you want to make a difference, I want you to understand how to do that. And particularly, there are four things that have to be present. These are requirements. These are essential ingredients. These are things that have to be in my life and in yours if we're going to make a difference. And if you see one of them and you say, oh no, I'm missing that, then my thought would be, go back to those steps I just mentioned to you. Ask, get in the Lord's word. Ask the Lord to do some building in your life. Pray. Increase your faith in the word of God and let God change you. Because folks, I haven't even talked about the fact you should be able to see it. The world needs some people to make a difference, doesn't it? I read the news. I get to the point where I don't want to hear the news anymore. Just the violence against children is enough to make me not want to read the news anymore. People killing infants. So, Pastor, I'm really busy. I haven't got time to make a difference. People are killing infants and you haven't got time to make a difference? Amen? People are dying and going to hell. I think we ought to have time to make a difference. Four things you got to have, and I'm trying to just get this back on a level playing field here, and we won't be long. Number one, Jesus said this. In fact, turn to this verse for me, John 15. We need to see this one for sure, John 15. I'm not going to begin reading in verse 1, but you could, and it goes on and on. It's not just this one verse I'm going to read you. It's really, this is a parallel passage to Jude 22. But what he says in verse 5, he says this. Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Now he's mentioned in verse 4, abide in me. In verse 7, abide in me. In verse 10, abide in my Father, or in my love. Abide, abide, abide. The word means where you live. Now, Simple thought. First of all, repeating what he said, and that is, without the Lord, I can do nothing. You can do nothing. So, Pastor, I can get in my car and I can go invite somebody to church. You can. I hope you do. But except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Amen? The first thing I need before God is going to use me to make a difference is I need to abide in Him. I'm going to assign a word to that statement there. I'm going to assign the word sanctification. It means being set apart. It means being holy. It means being different. You cannot make a difference until you are different. There are a lot of people that call themselves ministers and they call themselves pastors and they call themselves whatever label they attach to themselves as a servant of God. But the trouble is, they call themselves priests, for example. But the trouble is, the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell in them. They really aren't even saved. And they can do all sorts of things. They're still going to be sent to hell for all eternity because Jesus said He must work through us. Let me make this as simple as I can so you, just in case you're getting lost, I can bring you back. If I abide in the Lord Jesus Christ, I cannot abide in sin. You can't do both. I'm either going to abide in the Lord Jesus Christ or I'm going to abide in sin. If you're going to make a difference, first, God needs to make a difference in your life. Sanctification, setting you apart, making you different, working in your life, making you holy. Now, long about now, the devil's going to remind us that none of us are perfect and that we are all sinners. But I've already explained that. The question is, am I sinning because I don't care? Or do I sin now and then, as the Bible says? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If I sin, and I understand I did wrong, and I go to God and get that taken care of, what's my attitude towards sin is the question. Are you sanctified? Are you saved? Amen? If you're saved, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're getting there. Now, when you're saved, you still need to live a holy life. And I've seen saved people do wicked things and surprise themselves at how the Lord deals with them. But I want you to know something. God chastens His children. Can't spend much more time on it. We need to be sanctified. You're not going to make a difference without sanctification. Secondly, you're not going to make a difference without sacrifice. Now, I already read you the verse where He said that you need to forsake all that you have. He says in Matthew 6 that you cannot serve God and mammon. He says in Revelation 3 that He counsels thee to buy of Him gold tried in the fire. Just a real simple thought. Not a hard thought. If you're going to make a difference, it's going to cost you something. Sacrifice. The simplest thing we think of when we think of sacrifice is, I had something and I gave it to God. I had an animal, for example, in the Old Testament, and I gave it to God, and I didn't get it back. The Bible says in Romans, we should present ourselves a living sacrifice, that we should be a sacrifice. But sacrifice, something that I have that I give to God. What have you got that God could use? Time. Amen? Amen? You got time. God can use that time. Strength. You know, when you serve the Lord, you get tired, don't you, brother? When we serve the Lord, we get tired. Strength He gives us, and we use that strength to serve Him. I don't like the topic, but I have to mention it. Money. God can use money. I would mention it more important than that. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. We need to obey God. Sacrifice. If you're going to do something to make a difference, it's going to mean you have to give up what you would have done. Oh, Pastor, I sure enjoy doing this. I do too, but I have to give that up so I can make a difference. Because folks are suffering. I didn't even read you the definition of making a difference. Making a difference comes with compassion, and compassion is to care for the suffering of others. Not going to do that without sacrifice. Thirdly, service. It takes work. Do you remember the servants that the Lord addressed after He'd given them the talents? And there was that one fellow, and he hid the talent. He did not use it. He just went and buried it. And I don't know what he did with his time, but he didn't use it to serve the Lord. And the Lord came back. And what did the Lord say to him? He said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant," in Matthew 25, 26. Romans 16:18 describes them this way. It says, "They are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly." In other words, if we're going to make a difference, I say to you, you have to have some service. And what that means is, You got to find out what God wants and do it. Now, I've seen people think they know what they want and they do it. But truth is, we can't do it without the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Service. We're his servants. It's a good thing to be his servants. You're going to serve him for all eternity if you're saved. And there will be no fatigue then, praise the Lord, and there will be no distractions or anything. And then lastly, and I'm going to be done, you're not going to make a difference. You're not going to make a difference without sanctification. There's got to be a dealing with and a departure from sin. You're not going to make a difference without sacrifice. You're going to have to give some things up. You're not going to make a difference without service. You're going to have to do some things. Say, Pastor, I come to church. Praise God, please come to church because that's a blessing to me. It's worship to God. He deserves that. But I got to remind you, coming to church doesn't necessarily bring anybody else in these church doors or get the gospel outside of these church doors. That's something else. And we have scheduled times for that, and I encourage you to do it when you can as well. We have about, I'm going to say, probably at least 5,000 or 6,000 Gospels of John in plastic bags with tracts ready to go. Someone could come to me and say, Pastor, I'd like to distribute some of those. I'd give you a box full of them, and you can go to any neighborhood in the city and put them on the doors. Chances are you never would even bump into anybody unless you tried to. It'd cost you a little bit of shoe leather, cost you a little bit of strength, maybe a bottle of water, maybe some gas to get there. But folks, that's service. That's how we do what God asks us to do. Coming to church doesn't get the gospel out. It prepares us to get the gospel out. Finally, and I'll be done, look at number four here. Folks, we're not going to make a difference without Scripture. Now, this is encouraging to me because I get frustrated when I try to make a difference in people's lives and it doesn't work. And I say to myself, I failed and I forget something. Let me just express it. I've written it down this way. I want to read it and then I'll tell you what I'm talking about. Folks, if the Word of God does not make a difference in someone's life, do you really think you and I can? Let me say that differently. If the Word of God, the power of the Word of God, has no effect on them, do you think my power is any better than that? I like Luke chapter 16 an awful lot. It's got so many truths in it. The rich man and Lazarus. Two truths you need to remember. Number one, the rich man in hell had a prayer. And he said to Abraham, he said what? After he asked for water and didn't get it, he said this, send someone, I'm paraphrasing, to my brothers before they die. People that have died and gone to hell are praying that you and I take the gospel to the lost. That's kind of amazing, isn't it? But here's the interesting thing also. That one's just as powerful as it gets, but here's another one. Abraham said to Lazarus, or to the rich man in hell, the rich man wanted him to raise Lazarus from the dead and send him to his brothers. And Abraham told the rich man, he said, listen, if they won't hear the Bible, I'm paraphrasing, Moses and the prophets, he says, they wouldn't believe even if someone did rise from the dead. Oh, and by the way, Jesus rose from the dead. If the Bible doesn't change somebody, I don't have anything better to offer than that. Amen? But we do have the Bible. Someone says, Pastor, we preach the Bible in our church every Sunday. Why are there so many empty chairs? The church down the road's got a rock band with drums, and the guy can give a motivational speech that would win a trophy, and their church is full. Maybe we should do it their way. No. If the Bible won't change somebody's life, don't set the Bible aside and try something else. Amen? Amen. Maybe we need more Bible. You know what? Noah preached for, 120 years? 8 people got on the ark. Jeremiah, he preached to the people. They put him in prison. And God told him, keep on preaching until they're all destroyed. Sometimes you just don't see results, but the Word of God is still the Word of God. I can't make a difference. You can't make a difference unless the Word of God makes a difference. That's the sword of the Spirit. That's what we need to use. Okay, it's 12. I'm going to finish. You say, Pastor, what can I do with all this? Number one, if you're not saved, don't deceive yourself. Please, please let somebody take a Bible and, hey, guess what? You need to turn from your sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why people don't get saved? They love their sin. I love my sin, Pastor. I don't want to give my sin up. Well, you want to go to hell? Or do you want the Lord Jesus Christ? You got to give up your sin. Second question I have for you today, or the application I have for you, is this. If you're not making a difference, just admit it. I'm not making a difference. I could ask you this question. Written test. Hand a piece of paper out to everyone here. You got 5 minutes. Make a list. In whose life did you make a difference this week? Oh, and in parentheses, a difference that lasts for eternity. In whose life did you make a difference this week? In what way? You say, well, I was nice to somebody. Lost people are nice sometimes. Did you give the gospel to anybody this week? Did you go soul winning this week? Did you try to get a child to come to church this week? Did you invite a neighbor or a friend to church this week? Pastor, I invited somebody to church. Even if they didn't come, you made a difference. Because you reminded them about God and about eternity and about the fact that they need to care for their soul. In whose life did you make a difference this week? And if you're not making a difference, admit it. And then tack onto the tail end of that, how much difference did you make this week? Pastor, I handed out one tract. Praise God, that's not enough. Amen? Some people went door to door this week. They know who they are. They knocked on a door. A man came to the door. They talked to him. He prayed and asked Christ to save him. That makes a difference. You say, Pastor, that would scare me to death. Well, it scares me to death and I go. You know, you just go, amen? We're either making a difference or we're not. God put this church here to make a difference. Before we can make a difference, God needs to make a difference in our life. And that's what we accomplish here in church. You say, Pastor, I don't want to make a difference. I don't care. I'm happy the way I am. I'm just going to toss out Jude 22. The reason for that is you don't have compassion. Because if you have compassion on the suffering of the lost, on that little child that lives in a home where mom and dad fight and drink all the time, and there's hardly ever anything to eat, and if there is, it's gone in a flash, and you're not sure what's going to happen, or who's going to hit who next, or what's going to get thrown up against the wall next, and they live that way all the time, and they need the Lord Jesus Christ to save them and to come into their heart and to protect them, and he does anyway, but to be their Savior, to keep them out of hell. That little child, I think they're worth telling. Do you think they're worth telling? I want to make a difference. There's some exciting things I could do with my time. But that pales in comparison to making a commitment to the people around us that need to hear the gospel. Of some, have compassion, making a difference. Let's all stand and pray.